Welcome to the Manitoba Ag Days podcast, where we hear from some of the most relevant, up-to-date, informational speakers in our industry. In episode 42, Alex Stewart, Senior Vice President and CTO at Sycamore Energy Inc., tells his story. Hedge your energy costs at 5 cents for 30 years.
Thanks very much. So, certainly my name is Alex Stewart. Wanted to walk you through how solar, how you can bring solar into your operation, start to take care of some of those rising energy costs. So I'm going to do my best to explain some of the technical details of that and make this as educational for you as possible. So, just a quick show of hands here. Who thinks Manitoba Hydro has been a really well-run organization? Well, that's good, actually. That's a lot more than I was expecting. I think I saw three hands, so that's awesome. Excuse me, I got a bit of a cough there. Hydro, bless their hearts, have been doing a great job, we believe. But the decision to build the Bipole 3 Dam in Keesap were made 15 years ago. During that time, the fracking boom hit. And what the fracking boom did was unleash 350 years worth of natural gas. Now, it turns out you can convert a coal plant to a natural gas plant over the course of 3 to 6 months. So all of a sudden, all these coal plants in the U.S. are flipping over to becoming gas plants. And the price of gas is so low that we actually had a situation just recently where North Dakota phoned up Manitoba and said, hey, we've got excess power. Do you guys want it? And Manitoba is going, no, that's not how this works. We sell to you guys. The other export market that Manitoba was going to have was Ontario, down into Toronto. So some folks don't necessarily know this, but the Manitoba Hydro grid actually extends all the way to Thunder Bay. They were going to make that connection all the way into Toronto, but their premier just cut that line, cut that opportunity off. So ultimately the question is then, okay, Manitoba Hydro has all this debt. Where are they going to get the money to pay it from? Well, I guess I'm looking at them right now, right? So a lot of these agricultural producers that we're working with are multi-generational farmers. And so very often the decisions are being made around their purchasing decisions around the length of time it's going to take to pay something off. Whereas these solar arrays are actually an investment for a 30-year period. Panels will last for just a tremendous amount of time, and I'll get to the specific details of why that is. But these are the sorts of things that will be passed down to future generations. They will also increase your equity as well in the operation. They are an asset. So whether it's a home-based system, some of you may only be residential systems. And then in that case, that's fine as well. But again, we're here for Ag Day, so we want to keep it on an agricultural focus. So who here, just a quick show of hands, had ever heard of the Manitoba PowerSmart solar panel rebate? Anybody? A few folks? Okay. So here's the funny thing, and this is sort of frustrating, is Manitoba Hydro will advertise for you to retire your fridge or for you to insulate your basement, but they won't advertise Canada's best solar panel rebate. And we asked them about that, and they said, well, no, it's just a 2-year pilot project. We just kind of want to see how it's going to work out. And they were expecting about 30 applications. They've had well over 600 right now. So it's been a tremendous success, and a lot of folks haven't necessarily heard about it. And this is one of the things that I want to, one piece of information that I want to give you as well. But here's the kicker, is that it's ending April 2018. So this was announced 2 years ago in April 2016, and they gave a 2-year pilot window for this. And the rebate is $1 per watt. Now, I'm going to introduce you to this term because this is, in industry speak, how we look at solar arrays. It'd be like as though you were buying a car on a per horsepower basis. So with solar, everything's on a per watt basis. So solar is now being discounted by Manitoba Hydro for $1 per watt. And oftentimes we'll get asked the question, well, hold on a second, Alex. If Hydro's in all this kind of debt, why would they possibly be throwing money at solar? So the answer that Hydro gave us was, because they're a water-based utility, droughts have a very significant impact on the bottom line. The last drought was 15 years ago, and it cost Manitoba Hydro millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. So what they told us was, for every unit of solar that we can get installed is one less unit of water that we have to release in a low wet water year. So it's actually drought planning. It's drought mitigation strategy for them. So, to explain sort of what's happening here, I got a video just to help sort of explain my point here. So this is your traditional meter. This is a gentleman who's going to be turning on his solar array for the very first time. Flips on all the switches. And it's about this time that everybody starts jumping up and down. What his system is doing is producing enough power to run his house. I believe at the time his wife was baking. It was the summer. He had his air conditioner on. Of course, the fridges are all still running. And his solar array was producing enough power that it was meeting his needs, and it was feeding back onto the grid, literally spinning his meter backwards. So Manitoba Hydro is now accepting grid-tied solar arrays. In the past, they weren't, so there was a very large battery cost attached to these systems. There's no longer batteries required. If you want backup power, you're going to have to use a battery system because panels are set up so that when the grid goes down, the panels shut off. It's just a safety feature so the line workers don't get zapped because they're expecting that line to be dead. So they're all built with this. If you have a battery system, you can feed into the battery system. You can also cogen. So if you wanted to run a diesel generator at the same time, you can offset some of that diesel consumption with the solar. You can't run a diesel generator lower than 60%. Otherwise, you start to carbonize because of the incomplete fuel combustion. So the big thing that we really want to challenge people with is the idea that you're really just renting electricity. And you know from your experience that when you're renting, that the landlord sets the price, right? You're renting a section of land. Landlord raises the price. You don't like it, you leave. Manitoba Hydro, the power that you're renting from them, they raise the price. You keep paying it, right? So for the very first time in our history, we had the opportunity to own the generation. And this is such a big mental leap for people. It's literally like we are going from taking horses to pull up plows to selling tractors. A lot of people don't even know what questions to ask right now. And that's part of what I want to do is help to give you the questions so that as you're going forward, if it's my company, great. There's a lot of other great companies out there that you can go to. But I want you to be able to ask the right questions to make an informed and an educated decision. So, who we are, we're Sycamore Energy, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We do our installations at Solar Manitoba. Should you want to come and chat with me later, we do have a booth here as well. So, to give you sort of a sense of what these systems are looking like and what they can do, this picture here on the left is what was at the time Manitoba's largest solar array. We understand that there's been a Hutterite colony that's done a 250-kilowatt system, which is great. We just heard about that actually yesterday. But you can see here the picture on the left of those three arrays. I'll just keep going. All right. I'll just yell louder then. So in this case, you can see here on the left-hand side, you've got the three arrays. In the background there is his daily operation. So this will cover his... in the back there, you can see his daily operation. So that's all of his milking and all of his calving and everything else. Here's also his house, so you can see that the array is actually powering the entire system. And what's really exciting here is that Manitoba Hydro, with this rebate, is encouraging people to achieve what's called a net zero. So what that is, that's the first, again, a term I want to introduce to you. With net zero, you are producing as much solar as you're buying from Manitoba Hydro over the course of a year. So any one month or any one day is not really going to have a big impact on that, because over the course of the year, we can predict how much that solar is going to produce. And what Hydro does is they will take your last 2 years of consumption and say, in general, you use this much power, so you're going to need this much solar in order to get to a net zero state. So what that means is that, in this case, this is a gentleman at Otterburn at the dairy farm. Farmer's name is Hans Gorder. After 1 year of operation, he won't have a Hydro bill anymore. After 1 year of operation, he doesn't have a Hydro bill anymore, because what's happened is that in the summer months, he's overproducing, spinning the meter backwards like we showed you in the previous video, and then in the winter months when you've got a lot less sunlight, he's buying those credits back. So that's really, it's just that simple. It's a credit in, credit out sort of system. You can see here on the right-hand side, we zoom in a little bit closer to one of the arrays. You can see sort of a little bit more of the racking details. We typically like to install them on helical screw piles. We are investigating driven piles as well. You can put them on a ballasted mount. If you are going to go with a ballasted mount, what we recommend is that you have to do some ground preparation. We've seen in the past where some other folks will just pour some aggregate and just kind of plunk the ballast, the large concrete block, down on that. What industry practice actually is excavating 12 inches and then packing your aggregate in there and then mounting your ballast on top of that. So, again, just a word of caution for you if you are going to look at the ballasted systems. We certainly would recommend that they all be engineered. If you are going to install on a structure, make sure that you've got a structural engineer. We're hearing that some people are saying, well, you don't have to have a structural stamp. You only have to have a structural stamp if you're doing it within the city of Dauphin, Brandon, Portage, or Winnipeg. You have to get a structural stamp to get the permit. Any place else, you don't actually have to do that. I would not recommend you put panels up without getting some kind of an engineer's stamp on that. The panels themselves and the racking and everything will add about 3 pounds per square foot. So certain barns doesn't work for. Hockey arenas, that sort of thing, certain structures, it's not really suitable for. So getting you started, I want to kind of walk you through that whole process so that I can explain what that looks like, and you can be as happy as these folks are with their solar array. So the first step is to ask Manitoba Hydro, what's my maximum rebate? So it's an email to Manitoba Hydro, and unfortunately, anybody that you go and talk to on the solar installer side of things, we can't request this information for you. Well, Hydro said, look, this is confidential information. This is between us and our customer. So you would need to send in to Hydro your account number and and then ask for what's my maximum solar rebate. Again, they're going to come back and they're going to say, you use this much power, you're going to need this big of a system. So the whole conversation starts from there. And then, of course, there's going to be a site visit conducted. So you can see here the satellite image from that dairy operation. And this is where you're going to get into all the different types of installation details, where you want it, how high you want it, all those other sorts of things. In this case, you can see that the customer didn't have a problem with us trenching between the arrays, but once we went to his yard, through his yard, he didn't want us tearing that up, so we did a directional drill at that point. So after the site visit, then what's the next step in the whole process is the rebate application has to go in. So first you make the rebate request, how much do I need? Then once you've chosen your solar installer, you would actually then put in a rebate application. That rebate application has to have the engineer drawings associated with it. So there is a little bit of engineering work that goes along with that. And then once you get your rebate in, the rebate comes back approved, and then you can go and do your electrical permitting, which is kind of like this experience. So the thing about this is that when the Hydro employees found out about the solar panel rebate the same day that everybody else did. No word of a lie. They opened up the newspaper and went, well, we do solar. Did you know we do solar? No, I didn't know we did solar. Did you get any training on that? No, no, we didn't get anything. And then all of a sudden, the solar companies start putting in these applications. And what happened was that the Hydro inspectors, bless their hearts, just got completely overwhelmed. And we ended up in a lot of kind of really weird conversations with them, which went something like this. We know you're a Hydro inspector and you know everything, but in case you didn't know this, here's a little bit of extra information around the solar. And they went, oh, yeah, thanks for reminding us on that. So the permitting process can be quite long. You're going to expect that this is going to take a little bit of time, whoever it is that you're going to be using to do your solar install. And then once you've got the installation permit, once you've got the legal authority to go ahead with that, the panels actually will go up fairly quickly. It's Lego for big boys, so you just keep clicking it all together, and they'll assemble in fairly short order. And then, of course, once you get the whole thing installed, then there's another wait for Hydro to come out and do the inspection. And the joke I always ask is, how many Hydro inspectors does it take to inspect a solar array? I guess the answer is 4. But this is actually one of the first systems that ever went up in the province, so they did use this as a learning opportunity. The other question that I asked the guys actually was, what overhead hazards were you guys expecting? If the solar panels aren't coming down. So I'm not sure why you need the hard hats, but whatever. So frankly, in a lot of the cases, you're leaving money in the field. Solar is an opportunity for you to add another harvest. The other really nice thing is that solar doesn't care what's underneath it. Solar is immune to pests and rain and hail and all that other kind of stuff. And I'll talk about hail later. But it doesn't have to be productive land. We've installed systems on the edge of ditches. We've installed installations on the scrubland, on the garbage land that you wouldn't otherwise be using for anything. We can install on roofs. Frankly, what's your roof done for you lately? It's kept the sun and it's kept the rain out, but here's an opportunity for you to capitalize on that. The banks are really starting to catch on with this. We've been working hard to get some financing partners in place. So we've had customers come up to their lending institution and go, yeah, I'd like to do some solar. And they go, solar what? So if you end up with that sort of thing, there are lenders who are moving into this space, which is great. And one actually sort of a funny anecdote to share with you. When we were doing an install for a customer, you know, we pointed over to this, you know, plot over here, and we said, look, this would be great over here. And they said, no, that's productive land. I farm there. Oh, okay, so, well, what do you farm? Oh, soy, canola, you know, some grains. And okay, yeah. Well, how much do you make? And the farmer responded with, okay, well, we make $300 per acre per year on a bad year. Maybe on a good year, we'll make $600 per acre per year. So we ran the numbers and we said, well, solar would do $44,000 per acre per year. And the guy went, take the whole damn thing. Now, hydro is not encouraging people to do large megawatt-sized systems. If people do that, they will pay you just a garbage wholesale rate. Whereas what the real value is, like I said, is that net zero because you're offsetting the retail price. Hydro is asking for 5 years of 7.9% rate increases compounded. So when you run those numbers, in 5 years, if they get what they're asking for, and we've seen the presentations from the chair of Manitoba Hydro, it's not looking good. The numbers are quite dire. It is a Crown corporation, which means that we're all kind of on the hook for it anyways. If they get those rate increases, price of hydro will be 64% higher in 5 years. Okay? That is significant. And Ontario, I mean, you've seen what happened to their economy. Right, and especially the other part of this that's really tragic is the rural homeowners who are using electric to heat their homes are just getting killed on their power prices. And this is life or death. You don't have the option to not have hydro anymore. So solar, like I said, is an opportunity to protect yourself against these rising prices. We've got the sun. Has anybody here been over to Europe and seen, especially Germany, how many panels they're installing over there? It's absolutely fantastic. When you look at this color-coded map, this is the amount of sun resources. The darker the colors are, the more intense the sun energy is. I know it doesn't feel like that in the last couple weeks, but we do have a tremendous amount of solar radiation hitting this part of the planet. When you look at the same graph at Germany, Germany is northwestern BC of color-coding. So that's this up here. Germany's showing up as this green and there's a little part in the southern part of Germany that has that brighter yellow. We've got how many more color degradations all the way over to us. So we just have fantastic solar resources. If you folks are in the agricultural industry, you're already harvesting the sun. This is an opportunity for you to add another harvest. So I want to show you a bit of an example. I'm not going to get into the specifics of the details, but what I did want to say was we used the image that I showed you, and this is a public database. Everybody uses this in the industry. Manitoba Hydro uses this as well. It's called PV Watts. It comes from the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, and what it'll do is it'll take all the different variables that you put into it, and it'll tell you how much that solar array would produce. So I'm going to run you through an example of a 100-kilowatt system. So a 100-kilowatt system would produce 142,333 kilowatt-hours per year. This is what a farmer who uses $10,000 worth of hydro per year, that's the size of solar array that he would need. Okay, so depending on where you are, that rebated, that net zero amount would change. So keep in mind, again, you're going to get $1 per watt, so this customer is eligible for $100,000 rebate, and I'll show you what those numbers look like in a minute. So this is the meat and potatoes of the entire presentation. Right now, your hydro rate, and in this case, this customer, we've stripped out the PST. It's an agricultural operation. He's PST exempt, and we've stripped out the GST because it's just a pass-through. So he's paying 8.3 cents for hydro right now, and that's only going up. I think we can argue about the speed that is going up. Excuse me. But I don't think anybody's thinking that hydro is going down. Whereas we can offer a solar rate, and whomever it is that you're buying from, I don't want this to come across as a sales pitch. Whoever you're buying from, what we can do is we can take the total purchase price and divide it by the amount of production that it's supposed to do over the 30-year life of the panels. And you can figure out what your levelized cost of electricity is. This is a flatline rate. You're locking in your power price at 3.8 cents per kilowatt hour. When we showed Manitoba Hydro this, they were furious because we can give you solar cheaper than they can give you power. So getting into a little bit of the system details, the big question that we always get asked is how big are these systems, like physical size? Sorry, guys. Apologize. My four-year-old got me sick just before Ag Days, which is terrible. So I'm just going to do it like this so that I can move it away from me as I need to. Again, you've got a 100-kilowatt system. It's going to be 700 feet long. We can divvy that up as we need to. But the customer is qualifying for a $100,000 rebate. So over the life of the array, the system is going to generate $600,000 in savings. Okay, I think that was the end of it. So the total savings, we calculate that because the systems are expected to last for over 30 years. And I'll get to how that works in a couple slides. So this is sort of the economics of it. This customer would be on the hook for $155,000 out of pocket. That would be all of their applicable taxes. So again, the financing agencies are willing to lend on this, and what they're finding actually is that the price of their loan is less than the price of their hydro bill, and that spread is only going to increase over time. So the panels come with a 25-year manufacturer warranty, or production warranty, I should say, and this is common across all Tier 1 product. Manitoba Hydro does not allow anything other than a Tier 1 product onto their grid, so you have that protection. Manitoba Hydro has built that in for whoever it is that does your solar install. There's different tiers of panels, just like there would be different tiers of beef, different grades of beef. So 25-year production warranty, and what that's warranting is saying that over a certain amount of time, that it will only degrade at a rate of 0.5% per year. So what that means is that in year 20, it's producing 80% of what it was producing in year 1. Okay? After 20 years, you're getting to 80%. What they're actually finding is that the panels are degrading at half that speed. So 20-year-old panels are at 90% of what they're producing on day 1. And a lot of the time, you get asked the question, well, Alex, how long do these panels last for? And the honest answer is we don't know. And it's not because we're dumb. It's just because they're not breaking. If the panels are going to break, and they do, they're covered by the 10-year manufacturer's warranty, and there's three things that are going to go on a solar panel. There's the... that would be even better.
Technical support.
Awesome. Okay, that's good. I guess that's a little less awkward than what I was doing before. So the three things that are going to go on a solar panel are the electrical connections at the back. It's either going to be that, or it's going to be the metal frame. The web on the metal frame will come off. Or the panels are two sheets of tempered glass with a silicone wafer in between. And if that seal isn't done properly, the water can penetrate into there. So those are the things that are going to go on that. What we're finding is that if a panel is going to go, if there's a manufacturer's defect, it will go in the first 2 or 3 years. You put them outside in this climate and you subject them to this stuff for that long. Again, they're going to break after the first couple of years, and if they don't, they're just going to last for a very long time. The price of panels have come down so far that we no longer have to use tracking. So in the past, you would have seen the panels that track the sun in the sky. We don't ever have to use that. It's literally just set it and forget it. So the inverters, so all panels are 24 volts DC. They're just dumb panels. That's all that they do. But then you have to use an inverter to get up to whatever the voltage is that you need. So if you're running a 400 amp single phase, or you're running a 208 volt three phase, all the panels will produce 24 volts DC, and then the inverter is going to change it to whatever it is that you need it to get up to. So there is a 15-year extension available on that warranty. So it comes standard with 10 years, and you can extend that up to 15 years. And there's different kinds of inverter technologies, obviously. This is where we're seeing all the innovation right now. The panel price has come down so far that when you graph the panel price, it dropped like a rock about 10 years ago, and then it's kind of started to flatline. But we're seeing the price of inverters still continuing to decrease at a pretty good speed. And then, of course, whoever you're going to go with, you're going to want to make sure you're going to get some kind of workmanship warranty for them as well. So if you're putting on a roof, that there's some kind of warranty against defects that way as well. So speaking of roofs, there's sort of four main types of roofs that we're going to deal with. If you're dealing with a flat roof, so a commercial flat roof, you're going to use a non-penetrating ballasted mount where you just hold the panels down with concrete blocks. If it's an actual shingle roof, you're going to screw through into the decking, and there's going to be a beetle strip that seals that up. If you're using a standing seam roof, there's a clamp, a non-penetrating clamp that clamps to the seam so that you're not voiding your warranty. And if you've got a corrugated roof, we use a self-sealing light bolt to get into that. So those would be kind of your roof mount options. When it comes to the ground mounts, you've got ballasted piles. So big concrete blocks, you've got concrete pier piles, so big drill sonotube, helical screws, ground screws, or driven pile solutions. So it's a variety of different piling solutions depending on what your soil type is going to be. So this is an example. This is a screenshot from microinverters. So you can actually get panel-by-panel monitoring. You can tell what any one individual panel is doing, which makes service calls a lot easier. And you also, on the bottom right there, you'll see the daily production. So pretty much just tracks cloud coverage. So you can see that there was a big cloud that came across at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll get an app that's going to go on your phone, and you're going to drive your friends and family nuts, showing them every day of what your solar panels have done. And that lasts for about a month before you kind of, the novelty wears off of it. But, so there's some internet monitoring that you can get. And that's really great because what it'll do is it'll actually alert you if there's a system error. It will alert us as well. And then, of course, you guys get in touch with us and say, hey, there's something wrong. And we say, yeah, we got the same email, so we're sending somebody out. So there are no moving parts. There's nothing to worry about. It's the only piece of equipment a farmer's going to buy that makes the money and doesn't break down. As far as snow goes, we often get asked that. It's either going to melt or it's going to slide off. Because the panels are black, they're going to be about 15 degrees warmer than ambient temperature. So today, maybe -5, they're going to feel like they're about 10 degrees. The other effect that they have is that because they are generating electricity, it has a similar kind of effect as to when you heat up your rear windshield. You push the button and it sends the electrical current through your rear windshield. It'll do something similar to that. And here's the thing, is that the winter is actually only 15% of your production. So even if you lose all of that production, your overall loss really isn't all that high. So we have some folks that have large ground mounts that will go off and split the snow away, and you can't do that. If it's on the roof, don't get up there. Do not do that. It's not worth the risk to life and limb. And of course, if you do want internet monitoring, you're going to have an internet connection. We got into a really weird conversation with a customer when, after we'd finished the installation, we said, okay, great. Well, it's plugged in, where's your internet connection? And they went, oh, no, we don't have one. We went, oh, okay, well, you know what? If you get one, let us know. Come back and look it up. And they said, no, your contract says I can internet monitor this thing. And we kind of went, well, hold on a second here. You want us to, like, are we paying your internet bill? What are you asking for right now? So we ended up actually hooking it through his phone. So we worked through that. But again, I have to add that as a disclaimer now, that if you want to internet monitor these things, you're going to have an internet connection. So one of the questions that we always get asked is, what about hail? So we've got kind of a fun video to show you and kind of walk you through this. So here we are. So in order to pass hail testing, international requirements, 50 miles an hour. Oh, okay. Yeah, but you know what? That's a wimpy American hail. Right? It's a miles per hour. Let's do some real Canadian hail here. Come on. Come on, Alex. To my knowledge, there hasn't been a hail claim system on a solar panel in Canada. If you get a hail claim on a solar panel, it is catastrophic. You will be replacing roofs. You will be, the livestock are going to be killed. These things are knocking down barns. Like, you are not going to be able to damage these panels. So, the only other thing that we factor in when we're looking at what a panel is going to produce is what's called soiling, and that's just the industry term for dust collection, basically. Bird poop, dust collection, that kind of thing. So, we bake those numbers in to the production estimates already, so there's already a loss expected due to soiling. And again, that's just kind of an industry standard thing. So, that kind of wraps up my presentation in terms of sort of taking you through sort of the benefits and the costs of solar. So I just wanted to finish up with, you know, here's who we are. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to help. Like I said, there's a variety of companies that are doing this, and that's absolutely fantastic. So by all means, get competitive quotes on these things. So I will turn it over, I guess, back to you, or I'll be available to answer any questions that you guys might have.
Do we have questions for Alex? I'm sure we do. I have some.
Thank you. Completely unsubsidized, what can you produce power for per kilowatt hour? Without the subsidy?
Without any subsidies,
we're looking at about 6.5 cents per kilowatt hour.
6.5 cents. Well, Medicare providers are spending 18 cents a kilowatt hour plus 5.3 for something like 16, 15, 14 billion dollars.
Yeah, the numbers that we've seen are, because we install solar for about $2.50 a watt. Hydro's installing KeySat Dam for $13.50 a watt. So we are lobbying Hydro right now to change their mindset from just building more dams and looking at a wide variety of things. The other thing that solar has a really good benefit for is actually grid stability. So a lot of agricultural customers that at the end of the line have all kinds of voltage fluctuations. Solar, because it produces such a pure power, actually stabilizes the grid. Because that transformer is now no longer a dozen transformers away from the generating station. It's actually right beside the generating station. So each solar array that they put in the province actually smooths out the grid and can actually fix some of those issues, which prevents them from having to do expensive transformer upgrades into the future. So there's also a benefit there as well. So you're actually smoothing the grid out for your neighbors. So it's kind of a benefit that way as well. So,
got another question over here. I can hear you. I'm sure the question is coming in.
Just kidding. Can the guys in Somerset area and that area have solar panels put on those windmills?
Can they put solar panels on windmills? Was that your question? We haven't seen that done before. And actually, what the industry trends are is that sort of the solar panels that we've got in the southwestern or southern part of Manitoba, they're actually moving away from ground-based wind, and they're actually moving them out into the ocean. So they're actually moving them just over the horizon. So I'm not trying to dodge your question, but you can put solar panels down within in the inside of a wind farm. We have seen that done in other places in the world. But right now, I mean, no, we're not going to put them on the poles, no, to answer your question.
I thought you were joking. Yeah, he was joking. Any other questions? Serious ones? Yes.
So you said the rebate is going to end in April. Do you have to have anything installed by then? Or what's the deadlines like in order to actually cash in on that rebate?
So the rebate has to be applied for before April 30th. They are giving us 1 year to complete all the installations. So we've got until the end of March to get whatever we've got sold, we've got until the end of March to get that installed.
Another question here. Yeah.
Oh, you're making them work for it.
Thank you. How does the GST and the PST work into this?
Do we get credit for those taxes for the power that would be produced from our unit? Or at the end of the year, even if it's an even trade back and forth, are we still liable for the GST and PST?
Great question. I'll talk about tax sort of in general because there's another part that I had forgotten to mention. So firstly, to answer your question, when Hydro sells you the power, they charge you PST and GST. So, or if you're a PST exempt, right, they'll, you know, you're exempt from that. When they buy the power from you, they don't pay you the taxes. So in cases where you are splitting the meter forwards, like at night or whatever, and you're buying the power from them, you are paying taxes on that power purchased, but the power sent back doesn't get any of that tax treatment. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that it doesn't actually count as income because it's just savings. Like it would be like if you changed your lighting over to LED lighting and you're saving money, you're not getting taxed on that savings. The other thing too is, and very importantly actually, and so thank you for asking a tax question, is these systems qualify for accelerated depreciation, which means you're allowed to write them off 50% per year. So it's Canada Revenue Agency Rule 43.2, accelerated depreciation on solar arrays, and it really speeds things up because as far as we can tell, farmers really like write-offs. So they will let you write off 50% per year until you take that down to zero. So did that answer your question, sir? Very good. Thank you.
Another question. I live in Somerset and we have lots of wind, Okay, you can answer that question. What about winds last year? We had winds up to 148 kilometers an hour with empty bins rolling into the fields. So I see these things as kind of sails kind of hanging somewhere. So is that an issue potentially?
So I'm going to actually just zoom back to one of my pictures here to show you, to answer that question. So on the right-hand side there, you can see that we've installed this system on, those are helical screw piles. So they've got a 16-inch helix, and they're going to go down 8 to 10 feet. So for the most part, and so we get all of our systems engineered. So there's two different kinds of engineering. There's the structural engineering, so the metal skeleton that we install on is engineered. But then there's also the engineering for the attachment, like how these things actually adhere to the earth. So we prefer the helical screw piles because you get a better adhesion. There are other companies doing a whole variety of things, and that's probably one of the biggest risks. The craziest one that we saw that is probably going to come out of the ground is they installed the array on 4x4-foot posts 3 feet down. There's no way in God's green earth that that's going to withstand the kind of wind that you just described. So that's why, again, the engineering behind it is so important, and making sure that you're going with a reputable company. And again, there are a variety of them out there. So.
All right. Another question. Still have time as long as you're sitting here. How long do you have to leave? No rush.
No, I'll just be going back to the Pioneer Lounge to answer more questions anyways.
So I'll take one more question here.
Sure.
So if you have a credit balance at the end of the year, do they pay you out that credit and you're back to zero again, like a reset, or
they will. You can take an excess. You can take the credit from Manitoba Hydro because they're really only rebating people to have a net zero. So produce as much as you consume. You really shouldn't end up in an overproduction state. In the cases that you do, because again, there's annual variations in the amount of sunlight that you get. What they told us is that they'll do a payout in August. Or you can just roll your credit over. If you take the payout, you do have to claim it as income tax because at that point the system has actually generated income for you. So for the most part, what we're seeing our customers do is they just say, keep it on the bill and just keep rolling it over. Because again, it shouldn't be a big number. If you are in a state where you're significantly overproducing, they will come back to you and say, no, look, we have to have some kind of wholesale agreement because now you're a net exporter on a regular basis. And they're not looking to have people become exporters in a big way. They're just looking at reducing demand. Because the other thing, too, is that they've explained to us is that for every unit of solar that they get installed is one less dam that they have to build, or it's not quite exactly like that, but that's the idea, is that it's future load growth forecasting is what they've told us. So they're also planning for, okay, maybe Keesack is the very last dam that Manitoba Hydro ever has to build, and frankly, in my opinion, given how expensive those things have been, that would be a great idea. So we'll see going forward. So as I said, we're in the Pioneer Lounge. We do have some booths downstairs as well. So if you do have any more questions, you know, we're here for the rest of the show as well. So I guess thank you so much for your time today, folks. I hope you had a great conference, and we'll see you next year.
Thanks for tuning in to the Manitoba Ag Days podcast. We'll see you next year from January 22nd to 24th, 2019.